This morning we're in Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15 as we continue our journey along with Paul now and his gang, his growing team as we're going to see today. And I want us to really, I hope that you really get a lot out of the message this morning. We're going to get a lot of great Bible truth and principles that are going to help us in our life. We often say, God's ways are not our ways. We are going to see that this morning. We are going to see how God will take things in our lives that we look as not good, as negative, as bad, as failures, and He turns the whole thing around for our benefit and His glory. So the title today is, God is very interested in guiding us. God is very interested in guiding us. We'll be looking at Acts chapter 15, beginning verse 36, and going through chapter 16, verse number 10. We'll take those verses as they come in the outline. We'll get some introductory material and then get into our points this morning. But let us pray and ask God's help and direction as we begin. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for the opportunity now to open the Word of God. We ask that You will speak to us from this passage this morning, a very, very important number of verses. Not a whole lot of verses, but so much truth is there. So much truth and thinking that goes against the way we think. But yet that's how You work. You are an amazing, all-powerful God with unlimited power. And so we ask that You would help us today to tune in to You very much and really glean precious truth, grow us in the faith, make us stronger because we've come into Your house to learn of You today. I ask You, Holy Spirit, to fill me now for the message. I trust I depend on You for that today. I need Your help big time. And I ask that You would just take these thoughts and use them to build us in the faith today, to overcome struggles of life, to give us victory. And so we look to You for that today. We don't look to ourselves. We are trusting, we are depending in You and in You alone. So we ask for Your help and Your guidance right now as we look into Your Word. We ask all of this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Is this great or what? Paul and Barnabas come back to the church in Antioch with a win. It is a big win. They come back, they're excited. No, the Gentiles do not have to get circumcised. No, the Gentiles do not have to obey the law. This is a big win. They get back to Antioch and it's just an exciting time. If the outcome had been the other way, we might not be here this morning. This was a critical time in our church history. And let's remember that again this morning. The book of Acts is our church history. It's not a bunch of people from some past time. No, this is us. These are our people. These are our brothers and sisters in Christ. This is our history. Why might we not be sitting here this morning? Well, if the outcome would have gone the other way, the evangelism to the Gentiles would have ended. But today, we're going to see how the gospel went west. And as a result of that, it came even farther west, all the way to the United States of America. And so here we sit this morning as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. But right now, Paul and Barnabas are excited because they're about to go on more mission trips. We're going to get out there and we're going to continue the work that God has given us to do. The plan is we're going to go back and we're going to revisit all the people that we ministered to before, the churches that were started and put into place. We're going to go back and see them again. The plan was to go back there, preach some more, build the new believers, deal with any false doctrine that came in, and build the leaders in the new churches. This was going to be great. Man, we're going to go do this. However, soon after taking off again, God changes their direction and says, no, you're going to Europe. That's where you're going, to a place called Macedonia. This was an amazing turning point in church history. It is a turning point. We can look back on our lives and we can see turning points where God did something in our lives which turned us around, made things better. Maybe it was through a hard time. I think of my own life and I think about turning points. I had a large turning point in ninth grade. It was where I made the decision to forsake the God of football and go with Jesus Christ. That was a turning point in my life. Marrying my wife was a turning point in my life. I was very concerned that God would lead me to the right person. And of course, He did that. And then we went to all the way from Lebanon to the state of Washington, just south of Seattle, to a place called Kent. And there we spent 2.25 years, where I call that my Moses backside of the desert time. Things just happened there that God just turned things around and got us out of there, and we landed here at Faith Chapel over 21 years ago now. Scary stuff. Another turning point in my life happened here at Faith Chapel when, not too many years after we were here, Larry Smith heard of a program they were doing in other churches where they would give the pastor an allotment of funds to go and buy books. That was a turning point for me here. In 06, it was a turning point when Jim Van Gelderen came and had his book table out there, and on that table was that little green book called Engine Truths. That's where I finally caught hold of the idea that preaching isn't about you and you getting it together. No, this is about Holy Spirit leading and direction, trust and dependence in Him. That was a turning point in my life. We've all had turning points in our lives. This was an amazing turning point. You're not going back over here. You're going up there to Europe now. Something happened that totally changed Paul's ministry to fulfill God's hidden agenda. This change in plans was directed by God. Sometimes God's will doesn't fit into our formula. Paul and Barnabas had a formula. We're going to go do this, 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 and this. And God said, no, we're going to change all that. That's not what you're going to do. Paul really didn't understand all of what God had done in their lives till everything was said and done, and he sat down with Dr. Luke and had a discussion. What we learn is God's ways are truly amazing. Sometimes in our lives, you just have to hang on and enjoy the ride that God has you on. And it could be a wicked, wild roller coaster ride. But God is going to make great things happen for you. Point number one this morning, direction came out of conflict and failure. Direction came out of conflict and failure. Let's look at chapter 15 in Acts as we consider verses 36 to 41. Acts chapter 16, beginning verse number 36. And some days after all these great things, man, great report, great decision, After some days, after Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. He deserted. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. Now go back just for a moment to verse number 40. You'll remember in a message or two before I said, now go back up to number verse 34. Notwithstanding, it pleased Silas to abide there still. Remember, after the big meeting, they were all going to go back to Jerusalem, and Silas decided, probably by speaking with God, you know what, I'm not going back, I'm staying here. What happens? Well, now, in verse number 40, now we know why Silas didn't go back. Because he's going to team up with Paul and go on the next journey. See how God is working here? God is working this out. So here the trip they had planned made a lot of sense. It makes sense. Go back, visit all these churches, build them up, fix what's wrong, build the leaders of the church. It just seems like the right thing to do. And so here we have Paul and Barnabas, and I've been calling them the dream team. That's what they were. Two great Christian men, actually the greatest two men in the early church, Paul and Barnabas. Their talents just meshed together so beautifully, and they could hardly imagine what was about to happen to them. I mean, to break up this dream team, you just wouldn't. I mean, the first time you ever read this, you probably were shocked that this actually even happened. So as they plan, they're planning this trip, Barnabas says, I want to take my nephew, John Mark, along. Well, what happened the first time, Paul said? He deserted us. No way is he. Oh, this blew up. Paul was not having it. John Mark took off on the first trip. And no, he is not going along again. And so we learn in Colossians 4:10 that John Mark was Barnabas' cousin. It was blood. And of course, John Mark has probably grown over time now, and he wants another chance. Paul says, not happening. So there was a very heated discussion. It was intense. It was passionate. That's the Greek wording that we have here in the Word of God. And perhaps each one of them had a point. There's two sides to every story, right? And so who could blame Barnabas for wanting to give John Mark another chance? And who could blame Paul for saying, no way, Buster, you deserted the first time, it's not happening again. In verse number 40, as we read, we see that the church actually commended Paul in what he was doing. It was a tough situation that no one wanted to have happen. I mean, this is a very hard situation. So Paul and Barnabas, we find out here, they are real men. They're normal men. They're still sinners, however saved by grace. And so here we have number one and number two, greatest men in the New Testament, and they have this awful falling out. Terrible. They were real men, normal men, in spite of all their achievements that they had done. The truth is that many wonderful and talented Christians do not agree on everything. I've known great, 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 great preachers down through the ages. The problem with us preachers is we all have our own flaws. We all have them. And I'm not going to mention names, but I'm just thinking about one of the great men of the faith from years gone by. A great leader, great preacher, did great exploits for the Lord Jesus Christ, but he had a hard time getting along with people. And it hurt. It hurt. And he liked to be in charge, and there was other people that didn't want him in charge anymore. We want to have somebody else in charge. So, it blows up. And that's what happened here. Now, every Christian, we all have our own issues. We are men and women. We're not angels. We are not. We all rely on the grace of God. Were it not for the grace of God, we would be in big, big, big trouble. Some of the church's greatest men and leaders have had and still have terrible, serious flaws. So the unthinkable split happens between Paul and Barnabas. And right here in our text is the last time that Dr. Luke mentions the name of Barnabas, one of the greatest leaders in the early New Testament church. Paul was losing the friend whom he owed the most to. I want us to see this morning. Who was it when Paul got saved, who was Saul at the time? When he got saved, who brought Paul along? It was Barnabas. Barnabas stuck his neck out for Paul, helped him, grew him, trained him, went together on the first journey, and Paul now is losing his dearest friend in the world. So Barnabas and John Mark, they sail to Cyprus. That's where Barnabas is from. No doubt, when they got to Cyprus, they had an amazing ministry. There's no doubt. We just don't have it recorded for us today. One day we'll get the report. Paul chose Silas, who had stayed behind in Antioch, and now we know why. They will also go on to amazing and powerful ministry, and we do know about some of that. It is not stated that Paul and Barnabas ever got on their knees and prayed about the John Mark decision. We don't know that. It is a failure of the two greatest souls the church has ever known. God directs His servants in spite of difficult situations. God never abandons us, even if we make a huge mistake or do something very bad or wrong. God never abandons us. He will rescue those situations if we're willing to follow Him, and He will make great things happen. And that's exactly what happens in our story. God directed in such a way that both men went on to greater faithfulness and service. We now have two missionary teams instead of one. It was going to be one, but now there are two missionary teams, both going on missionary journeys. Silas adds some new things to the team. So Paul and Silas are now teamed up together. Silas, he's a Roman citizen. That helps. He's a prophet. He may have also spoken Greek, and he may have been Paul's stenographer. His talents added a lot to this team and their ministry. It is often through our tough times that God takes us to higher ground and greater ministry. That's the thing to remember when you're at that low point, when you're having that trouble, when that bad thing happens, when that unexpected thing happens. You just got to know God has something greater for me around the corner. Just don't know it yet, but He will take me to higher ground as I follow Him. We can learn and grow big time through failures and tough times. We have to accept God's direction, trust and depend in Him. Barnabas and Mark sail to Cyprus. Paul and Silas make their way to the churches of Galatia, where he and Barnabas traveled on their first journey. This time, a new guy is going to come into their life, young Timothy. Point number two, direction given. Direction given, chapter 16, verses 1 to 5. Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, and I've been there before, behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman which was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Now remember, Timothy's an older teenager here. I've said this a million times. You're never too young to get started for God. The younger, the better. The younger, the better. He was already, as an older teenager, well reported of by the church, the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him. He impressed Paul. His spiritual life impressed him so much, he wanted to take him along, and he took and circumcised him. Why? Because of the Jews. Well, who's Timothy? He's half Greek and he's half Jewish. So he voluntarily was circumcised to not cause offense to the Jews. What a great spirit. What a great attitude. The Jews which were in those quarters, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. That was a huge decision with great ramifications. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. Wow. God is doing, we just had a big blow up, but what's God doing? God's making great things happen. God is making great things happen. They arrive in Lystra, and Paul is very impressed with this older teenager, Timothy. His mother, his grandmother, very strong Christians. Timothy came to Christ as a boy, and he took off spiritually. He took off really fast. So he gets circumcised, and Timothy was on the road as a missionary, as an older teenager. Now we got a three-person team, new dream team going on here. Timothy, half Jew, half Greek. His circumcision removes the offense to the Jews. What a great thing. So Timothy was really, really special to Paul. This young Christian who was maturing rapidly. This is my son of the faith. My new son in the faith. He was a joy to him. He was a healing balm after the loss of his best friend in the world, Barnabas. You know, our God loves to bring joy and hope after our failures and disappointments. That's what's happening right here. That's what's happening. Don't ever forget it. God loves to bring joy and hope after failures and disappointments. You know, being a half Jew and a half Greek helped the team. It bridges the gap between the two cultures. So I say, now it's a three-person dream team. This is really good. God is doing great things here. And God makes very good use of failure to empower His people to greater service. Paul and Barnabas were a dream team. Now we have another one. Paul, Silas, and Timothy. Who put them together? God did. God put that team together just like He had before. It's another dream team. Lots of talents going on here. They're all going to be used for the glory of God and the salvation of souls. Point number three, direction through restraint. Direction through restraint. Chapter 16, verses 6 and 7. Here's where we see God start to change the plan. Now pay attention to the way Luke is talking about this whole thing. It's going to change in a few verses. Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed or attempted to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, suffered them not. What going on here in two little verses? Direction through restraint. These are two very important verses here in the book of Acts. They headed in two directions on the journey, and God changes the plan. God changes the plan. God was going to send them now to Europe instead. What's happening here? What's happening in these two verses here? Sometimes the Holy Spirit removes a sense of peace about what you are about to do in your life. He removes the peace about it. Why? Because He's changing your direction. He's changing the plan. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will literally just shut the door. Just make it impossible for you to do that plan. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will use an obstacle, or He will use sickness to change your plan, to change your direction. This second change here in our text may have been sickness. As we learn in verse number 10, that Luke changes the narrative from they to we. What happened? Luke has now joined the team. Now it's four. Now we have four on this amazing team. Let's look at this real quick about how Luke changes this narrative. Look in verse 6, 7, and 8. Verse 6, now when they had gone. Verse 7, after they were come. Verse 8, and they. Now look at 10, 11, 12, 13. 10, and after he had seen the vision immediately, we. Verse 11, therefore loosing from Troas, we. 12, and from all these places, and we were in that city. Verse 13, and on the Sabbath, we. That means Luke, he's in on this. Narrative changes. Used to be they did all this, now we're doing it. Now it's us. Now it's we, us. Isn't that neat? So what does Paul do? He just rolls with whatever God's doing. And you know what? That's what we have to do in our life. We have to roll with it, let it go. You know, a lot of women are not ducks like a lot of us men. You know, stuff comes in our lives. You have to be a duck. Just let it roll off. Don't stop and think about it. Don't stop and fret. Don't stop and get mad at God about it. No. Let it go. Let it roll. That's what Paul did. Roll off. Paul didn't get mad about all these changes. He was glad. He said, hey, God's got something going on here. We're going to go with God's plan. Paul didn't say, well, what if we would have done this? What if this? What if? What if? What if? Do you ever do that in your life? What if? Forget it. Forget it. That's gone. It's over. It's done. Let's get with the program that God's got for us right now. That's what we need to be concerned about. You know, later on, Paul is going to write to Timothy some great words of wisdom. Keep your finger there in Acts. Go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. Chapter 2. Second Timothy chapter 2, Paul will later write these words to Timothy, 2 Timothy 2, 1-4. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Yet you're going to have the hard times. You're going to have the failures. You're going to have the tough times. Endure it as a good soldier of Christ. Don't worry about that. Don't get caught up in that. Let it roll. Let it roll off your back like the water off a duck. Let it roll. Let's get busy and concerned about what God's got going on right now. Back there, gone, forget it, roll. Let it roll. Let's get busy. Let's get doing what God wants us to do. What would if Paul would have sat around and Barnabas to get to their destinations? What if they would have sat around and moped about all the bad things that just happened to them? Do you think that's what they did? No, no, no. They were off to what God had for them next, and it was greatness, and God used them powerfully. Point number 4, direction through revelation. Direction through Revelation 16, verses 8 to 10. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia, Europe, and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. Now look, 10, it changes. Now it's not they, it's we. And after he'd seen the vision, immediately, we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Direction through revelation. The message from God was, Europe is calling for help. Europe is calling for help. Europe needs the gospel too. They need it. So they're considering, as Luke writes, we were considering this. We came to the conclusion this is exactly what God wants us to do. They're calling us in Macedonia, in Europe. We're going to go. Again, what is this? This is one of the great turning points in church history. Huge turning point. What if they would have ignored God's revelation? What if they would have said, no, you know what, we're not going to, we've never been there before, not going there. Wow. This is a turning point in church and world history. Why? Because here we are sitting in church this morning in the West. As a result, the gospel has come to us in the West. You know, nothing makes a person strong like hearing somebody crying out for help. Isn't that what happens? You know, you come upon an accident on the road, what do? Oh, well, I'll just sit in my car and wait till they clear this up. No, you get out of the car and you're calling 911 and you're running up there and you're helping those people. When people cry for help, it gives us some kind of a motivation, extra energy, the adrenaline starts to flow and we go. That's what's happening here. The Macedonia is calling for help and they went. And they listened to God. Paul, Silas, Timothy, Luke move forward at God's command. Point number five, we'll finish up with some PowerPoints. PowerPoints, not on the screen, but in your hearts and in your lives. Five things. Number one, they all succeeded for Christ. All of them. Yeah, we had a big fight, we had a big blow-up, but God turned the whole thing around for greatness in His work, new mission teams, new exploits for Christ. God made it happen. They all succeeded for Christ. Nobody failed anymore. They went on. Number two, God uses unhappy, perplexing failures to bring fresh purpose and direction to our lives. That's how He works. We think the other way around, but not God. God uses unhappy, perplexing failures to bring fresh purpose and direction to our lives. Number three, God will lead us according to His own perfect plan. Remember, God's plan is the perfect plan. Our plan is shaky. Right? God will lead us according to His own perfect plan. So as we're doing that, don't box God in. Don't box Him in. Get with the program. And we had this in Sunday school, and it comes up right here in the end. Attitude. Attitude is the most important thing. What kind of an attitude do we have to have as believers? A positive faith, underlying faith, attitude. That's the attitude we have to have as believers. Attitude is so, so important. It is trusting and depending. That's the attitude. It's a trust and depend attitude. Four, God directs us through every situation. God directs us through every situation. He never lets you hanging on your own. Never, ever, ever. No. All right? God directs us through every situation, the apparently good and the apparently bad. He leads us through all of it. All of it. And five, it's a whole lot better to go with God than to go with yourself. Go with God. Don't go with yourself, your plan, your idea. God will make great things happen in your life no matter what. Keep a positive faith attitude all the time. Every day, all day, go with God. Let us pray. Father, thank You so much for Your word this morning. What a powerful text here in Acts. A lot of activity, a lot of happenings, a lot of emotion, a lot of movement. But behind it all, You are working. You were working. And You're still working right now this morning. We may have some souls here, Father, who are in that spot right now. There's a tough situation. So we know that You're going to take them through, and it's going to be a victory on the other side. So may we trust and depend in You as we should. Every day, all of our life long, let us go with You, not with our own self, not with our own ideas. We give You praise, give You thanksgiving for this great text. In Jesus' name, amen.